We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We welcome aboard Pete Dougherty. He is a columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Peter, first of all, Happy New Year to you. And thanks on this New Year's evening for giving us a couple minutes of your time.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you also, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Oh, for sure. And, well, let me ask you first of all, eight coaches, of course, from the start of this season are out of work, including Mr. McCarthy, and yet he and Hugh Jackson were the only two dismissed during the season. What took place to make that happen, especially with a guy like McCarthy, of course, who had won a Super Bowl, who had been with the Packers for so long? What precipitated his dismissal in the middle of the season? Why couldn't they wait, for example, until the end of the season? And did Aaron Rodgers have anything to do with it?
Yeah, Rodgers had a lot to do with it in the sense that you know, he basically wasn't buying what McCarthy was selling anymore. He didn't like the offense, didn't like the way it had evolved since their best years in 10 and 11. And it just kind of hit the boiling point this year. They beat Buffalo in week four. It was like 20-0, 22-0, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Rodgers was upset after the game. And, you know, it was like they lost. And he basically said that he didn't like the game plan and thought they left a lot of yards and points on the out there on the field. And, you know, with the rest of the season, that was kind of it, I think. It was obvious that he just wasn't buying McCarthy's offense anymore and didn't like the play calling, didn't like the scheme. And when you lose the quarterback, you know, you lose the locker room. And so that's why they fired him during the season. You know, they played that terrible game against Arizona and got beat at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in December, you know, you can't lose to a warm weather team if you're Green Bay, a bad warm weather team with a rookie quarterback at home in December. That just can't happen. And I think things were just, everybody knew he was going to get fired, and it was, you know, you get different opinions, but I think they made the right move to do it when they did because the toxic atmosphere with the quarterback not buying what the coach was selling, it was just good for nobody. And McCarthy's a good coach that did a great job, and he's really well respected up here, but that doesn't mean it still wasn't the right move.
Mm-hmm. And earlier on the Fan here in New York, one of my colleagues did an interview with Andrew Brandt, and I'm sure you're familiar with him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he was extolling the virtues of Mike McCarthy. He basically described the split, not so much as a split, but that the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy had frayed. That was the word he used. Not necessarily was it just the end of the world, but a little bit strained. But again, he was to use the word frayed. He also reminded us how well they got along in the very beginning, making the transition from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers with the off-season workouts that the two of them used to have from March until training camp. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about those early days with McCarthy and Rodgers.
Yeah, they were in the foxhole together because Favre retired in 08 and then he unretired, and during the interim, Rodgers was the quarterback, and they were getting him ready to be their starter. And so when Favre decided to come back, I mean, all hell broke loose around this organization in the state of Wisconsin, people picking sides, Favre or the Packers, and because the Packers didn't want him back.
Mm-hmm.
After he'd made that decision. And so McCarthy and Rodgers were in the foxhole together, and, the rules used to allow more time for working with the quarterbacks in the offseason, and McCarthy had what he calls quarterback school, and so Rodgers went through that a couple of years, including that year when he knew he was going to be the starter. It was a great collaboration. you know, frayed, split, you can use whichever words you want. I think personally, they got along fine. I think this was more of a professional disagreement, and, you know, their profession is football, so it's a pretty important thing where they had a split.
Is it fair to ask whether this had something to do with the personnel with the team at the time this was all taking place this season, when you lose to an Arizona team and the differences are just accelerated between the coach and the all-star quarterback? I mean, did it have something to do with the rest of the team not being as good as it used to be?
Yeah, it depends who you talk to. You get different opinions. I mean, the talent is not what it was when, you know, in 10 and 11 when they were, you know, the best team or one of the best couple teams in football for a couple of years there. It's definitely slipped some. But, you know, they went to the NFC Championship game in 16. They were 4-6. And I don't know if you remember, but that's when Rodgers had his, you know, I think we're going to run the table, and they did, and they made it all the way to the championship game. And I don't think this team this year is any more talented than that team was. So I think it was mostly just, you know, the quarterback just did not have a good year, and his chemistry with McCarthy is a big reason, and with the, and his not liking the play calling and the scheme that just filtered down through the whole team. And that was the biggest part of it. There are other issues too, you know, young receiving core. So there was, you know, there's mistimings and, you know, the quarterback throwing it at one place, expecting the receiver, a young receiver, to be in one place and is in another. There's all that stuff. But I think the biggest thing was just the quarterback didn't play nearly as well as he did in 16. And so they ended up under 500 instead of 10-6 and making a run to the championship game.
Yeah. And of course, when the personnel changes and the wins turn into losses, nobody is in a good mood, and you can see where differences might be coming up, and some players, whether it's an Aaron Rodgers or anyone else, and the coach, if it's not winning, you know there's going to be possibly some finger-pointing. We always thought that Aaron Rodgers may have had something to do with this, even if he didn't say anything, because of A, the losses, and B, him not giving McCarthy a vote of confidence after their relationship had been as close as it was.
Yeah, and it was mostly his play that got McCarthy fired. You know, if Rodgers plays better, and you're right, winning cures just about everything. And you know, I'm sure players could sense that he wasn't happy. I mean, fans could see it. You could see it in his body language on the field with how frustrated he looked. Like he wasn't enjoying the game at all. It's funny interesting that after they fired McCarthy, Rodgers' mood was so much lighter at his press conferences and on the field. He looked like, you know, that you saw a little more joy on his face than you did before then. So it's just like it lifted up a pall that was kind of over the team, because things were just not going well with the way those two saw the game. It was like they were running two different offenses, you know, Mike McCarthy's and Aaron Rodgers.
Right. All right. Now, as you know, I'm sure you know by now, McCarthy is going to be interviewed by the New York Jets. And we're thinking and guessing that he would love to take over as head coach of the New York Jets, even though I know his family, McCarthy's wife is from Green Bay, and he's well-established within the community. But as a football lifer, and he's been in the league forever and a day, with the Jets having a young and promising quarterback in Sam Darnold, how much, if the Jets do hire him, how much help do you think he would be able to give a young quarterback like Sam Darnold, and how much would this job be more attractive to him than anywhere else?
I would think it would be very attractive. You know, the Packers played the Jets in December, and you actually could see some similarities between Rodgers and Darnold, mainly in that they both throw the ball really accurately on the run. And McCarthy basically built the offense around Rodgers' ability to do that up here. So, yeah, I would think it would be very attractive to him. He's got two sons in high school. I think one's a junior and one's a freshman, and they're athletes and they're, you know, really embedded with their team. So I think if he takes a job, he's probably going to be living wherever that job is until those kids get through high school. I don't think the family would pick up and move. But I would think the Jets job, because of Darnold, would be very attractive to him. I mean, I don't think he's going to interview just for the sake of interviewing. I think he'd only interview, I don't know this, I haven't talked to him, but I would think he would only interview with teams that he would be serious about accepting the job if offered.
Mm-hmm. And because he is so offensive-minded, I mean, the Jets have had nothing but one defensive coach after another after another after another. And certainly you know their history. It is not a very successful history. It's not very much a winning history. Do you think a McCarthy in a single season and in a year could turn things around working with a guy like Sam Darnold, who would be in his second year if the Jets hire McCarthy for 2019?
I think he would help him a lot. Now, he came here in 06. They were 4-12 in 05, with Favre at quarterback, played every game. McCarthy comes in 06. They go 8-8. They were 4-8 and won their last four. Then in 07, they're playing in the championship game. So it took him 2 years to build it here with a guy at quarterback who already knew how to play. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe it would be another year on the rebuild. You know, but even a 500 season showing progress, I mean, that's how it works in this league, you know, learning new systems and all that. But he does have a pretty good record with quarterbacks. I mean, you know, he helped Rich Gannon, just swears by him, and that's, you know, he said he learned, mm-hmm. I know his career took off when he was in Oakland, but he said he learned much of what he knew when he worked with McCarthy at Kansas City. And I don't know if you remember Aaron Brooks, but he was a guy the Packers drafted. And then when McCarthy, he was on Ray Rhodes' staff, that staff lasted a year, McCarthy went down to New Orleans and was offensive coordinator down there and got them to trade for Aaron Brooks to be their quarterback. They didn't have one. And Aaron Brooks took him to the playoffs 1 year, and I think McCarthy was there for 3 years. And Aaron Brooks played pretty decent football for him when McCarthy left. Aaron Brooks, you know, I think his record after that was like 2-12, or maybe even worse than that. It was really bad. Mm-hmm. So his track record overall with quarterbacks is good. And, you know, Rodgers had that, why am I blanking on that? Tedford, you know, he came from Tedford at Cal, and Tedford had that system where, you know, the quarterbacks had the high carriage on their dropback, so they put the ball right by their ear, and it kind of a mechanical throwing motion because of the way he wanted them to play. You know, he wanted those mechanics, and, you know, McCarthy got rid of all that stuff, and now you see the natural thrower that Rodgers really is, you know, and McCarthy, you have to say McCarthy helped him there. I think he's good at working with these young quarterbacks, and that would be what would attract him to the Jets job.
And what is somewhat ironic, if I recall, if I'm correct here, McCarthy was with the 49ers at a time when they were very offensive-minded, and during the draft passed on Aaron Rodgers.
They took Alex Smith first, yep.
Yeah, and then McCarthy loses his job with the 49ers, gets hired by Green Bay, and then drafts Aaron Rodgers, if I'm correct.
Because it was that draft, Packers. So San Francisco had the first pick, and it was going to be Rodgers or Smith, and they took Smith. And Rodgers falls all the way to 25, I think it was.
Yeah.
And Packers take him at 25. And then McCarthy, you know, a year later is coaching Rodgers. And I think Rodgers never let him forget that when he was in San Francisco, he passed him. The funny thing there is, you know, so he worked with Smith for a year, and obviously Smith wasn't close to ready to play as a rookie, and he's nowhere near as good as Rodgers was. But they finished with the 32nd ranked offense that season. And yet McCarthy still, Ted Thompson still, that didn't bother him at all, and he still hired McCarthy after he had the worst ranked offense in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with, for a few more moments, Pete Daugherty, who is a Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Do you think McCarthy will be able to handle New York and the pressures and the scrutiny?
I think so. I mean, it's completely different markets. But one probably misnomer that people wouldn't realize is that the media coverage of the Packers is actually really thorough. You know, they're the by far the biggest thing in this state, bigger than than state government, bigger than anything. So that people follow this team really closely, and because of the 60s especially and the Favre years, they've got fans all over the country. They've got one of the two or three biggest fan bases in the NFL, I would guess. In fact, all over the world, judging by my emails and the chats we do and all that. So and there's a lot of local media, Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, all the TV stations are out there all the time, radio, print media. So even though it's a small market, it's the smallest city, the media coverage is actually, you know, pretty robust. So while it's going to be different in New York, of course, the jump might not be as big as someone who is unfamiliar with all this would guess.
And what kind of, well, certainly we're talking about the Green Bay Packers, and if there was going to be an America's team, it would be, I believe, the Green Bay Packers more than the Dallas Cowboys, a little bit more promotional and marketing with Dallas from when they started with that kind of moniker some years ago. But you're right about when you're talking with what you're saying about the Green Bay Packers. They have a fan base, as do other teams too, but really, you're talking Vince Lombardi, you're talking the beginning of the NFL as we know it, and Vince Lombardi from here, New York, as you know, and the bottom line is, no, the Green Bay Packers, without an owner, and the Green Bay Packers right in the middle of the country, the small market that you're talking about, they could be seriously called America's team if we were going to call any team in the NFL America's team. It might be them. What do you think?
Yeah, people love that story. And it's, you know, the history is pretty neat, actually. It's, you know, I had a professor in journalism school said never use the word unique, but in professional sports in this, you know, North America, they really are unique for their ownership structure and how they survived, you know, from 1919 till now. So there's a lot of truth to that. And you were hit on it with Lombardi. Because that's when the NFL started getting big on TV, was in the 60s.
Sure.
And so the Packers were the dominant team. They were on national games often. And so all these young fans, you know, teenagers and even younger around the country were seeing the Packers and watching them win championships, and they adopted them. No matter where they lived, there was people who adopted them as their team, and then they passed that along to their kids. And I think that's a big reason why, between that and kind of just the allure of their story and, you know, being a community-owned team, that I think that has drawn them a lot of fans. From what I could tell on road games, you know, there's the teams that whose fans seem to pack stadiums when their team is on the road the most are, I think, the Packers, the Steelers, New England because of how good they've been, and, you know, Cowboys fans too, but I think those are probably – I'm not sure if I'm forgetting anybody, but those might be the teams whose fan bases fill opponent stadiums more than anybody in the NFL.
Oh, sure. But the Green Bay Packers with the history, Curly Lambeau, the whole thing, the frozen tundra. I mean, and I even remember, and I can't remember what I had for dinner yesterday, but I remember that Horning's number was 5, Jim Taylor's number was 31. Everybody remembers the Ice Bowl. I mean, and Vince Lombardi, legendary already. And that's almost too obvious to say, but certainly people know from the Green Bay Packers. Before we let you go, Peter, again with Mike McCarthy. You think he'll take the job if it's offered, money notwithstanding? You think he would like the challenge of taking over a team that knows losing, like from Charlie Brown with the Peanuts cartoon strip? I mean, this is the Bad News Bears. They have not won a Super Bowl since 69. You know, from with Joe Namath, it's been 50 years. And what a hero he would become. In fact, Chris Johnson, the brother of Woody Johnson, the two owners of the New York Jets, said he would become a legend were he able to turn things around. Any coach, and if it is Mike McCarthy, he would become a legend here in New York were he to turn things around for the New York Jets with a young, promising quarterback. And he would become a hero here in New York. You think he would accept if offered the job, the challenge of what New York is?
I would think there's a pretty good chance. Now, I'm guessing in his mind, he's interviewing the Jets, as, you know, as much as they're interviewing him. Yeah, I think he'll want to have a clear understanding of, you know, the front office structure and who his boss is and who's making what decisions. But I don't think he would interview unless he were, you know, pretty serious and he's going to have done some background or his agent would have to find out some of these things. So I would think if he's taking the interview, which it sounds like he is, that there's a really good chance he would accept a job if offered. I haven't talked to him, so I'm just guessing, reading tea leaves, but that's my best guess.
Yeah, sure, and you have no idea when he might be interviewing with the New York Jets?
I do not. All I've seen is that confirmed that he is interviewing with them, but I haven't seen a day. I mean, he's free. They could talk to him anytime. I would have to assume it'll be in the next, I would guess, the next 2 or 3 days.
Yes, and many Jets fans right here would love to see him interview in the next 10 minutes.
I'm sure, yeah.
He's the popular choice with a lot of our callers, a lot of our listeners. I mean, there is always some concerns. I mean, there are a number of Jets fans who would love to see this coach or that coach, but I think McCarthy right now is with the popular public opinion that the Jets hire him. And I think he'd be interested more than, say, Arizona or some of the other teams because of the quarterback with Sam Darnold. Do you think he would be able to be a complete head coach? In other words, yes, we know he's offensive-minded and the Jets need that. And we know that Sam Darnold needs some tutoring and mentoring and coaching and educating. Would he be able to cover the entire team as a head coach and be not only the offensive mind that he is, but also have the respect and attention of the defense as well? Tell us what you think of him becoming or and being a head coach with the whole team.
Yeah, so 3 or 4 years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, he decided to give up the play calling and had Tom Clements, his coordinator at the time, do it. And about halfway, or about 10 games through the season, and their offense was not playing well, I think it was the 15th season this happened, he took over the play calling himself. He took it back. My guess is after that experience, he'll never give up the play calling again. I could be wrong, but that would be my best guess. You know, he was hired in large part because of his expertise on offense. So he would be reliant on getting a really good, experienced defensive coordinator who he could leave that side of the ball to handle. Because there's, if you're going to run the offense, there's just not time to also be heavily involved in the defense, too. So that would be one of the downsides of hiring him if that's what they're looking for, is to, an overseer head coach. There's not enough hours in the day to do both, I don't think. So
sure.
There would be some limitations there. But, you know, this is an offensive league, and it's a quarterback league. And so if you get that part right, you're 80% of the way there, you know.
Yeah.
That's why teams like having these offensive head coaches. That's why there's a good argument. You know, all things being equal, you go offense. But that would be my guess, is that he would continue to run the offense himself based on his experience two-thirds of a season when he did give up the play calling.
And so much like he did with Aaron Rodgers when he first took over the job, when Aaron Rodgers was young and unknown per se and untested, when he was working with an Aaron Rodgers in the offseason, trying to refine and define his game and help him become the star he has become, you would think that now, all these years later, that McCarthy would be doing the same with the Sam Darnold, working in the offseason to improve his game.
Yeah, that would be exactly it. And it was interesting, in Rodgers' first season as a starter was 08, and then in 09, so his second year as a starter, halfway through the season, Rodgers was on track. If you prorated it, he was going to be close to setting a record for being sacked most in NFL history. I think Carr down in Houston, I think, had the record. It was like a 71 sack, something like that. And, you know, Rodgers was on pace for, I don't remember the exact number, but like 68 or 69 halfway through the season. Mm-hmm. And McCarthy basically sat him down, talked to him, said, you got to get the ball out. he changed his play calling to just get to go to quicker rhythm stuff. And the second half of 09, that's when Rodgers started taking off. And they made the playoffs that year, and they had this great shootout down in Arizona where they lost to Warner like 40. Like, it was the last play of the game. I think maybe it was the first possession overtime. They lost, like, I can't remember the score, but it was like 46 to 40, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year they won the Super Bowl. The next year after that they go 15-1, and then the Giants beat them in the playoffs. But that's, things really started taking off the second half of Rodgers' second year as the starter. And, you know, McCarthy has, you have to give him, you know, a fair amount of the credit for that. He got Rodgers to get the ball out quicker. He changed the play calling to help him do that. And that was always one of his strengths, was adjusting during the season, and he just couldn't find it this year. None of whatever, any adjustments he tried, nothing worked.
Do you think that McCarthy would like the structure that is within the Jets front office, where the general manager, who is Mike Maccagnan, reports to the owner, and then McCarthy, if hired by the Jets, he too would report to the owner, not the general manager. Do you think that McCarthy would feel comfortable with this kind of setup?
I think so. You know, the Packers always, for just going back to Ron Wolf, that's when they made their big change.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave the GM total, these footballs are, he had complete control over everything in football. The head coach reported to him, you know, really clear chain of command. Then that changed last year. Mark Murphy changed it and had, because he hired a new GM, Brian Gutekunst, and he had Gutekunst, the cap guy, Russ Ball, and McCarthy all reporting to him. This is the first year they've done it, was this season. And McCarthy seemed to be happy with that. So I would think he would be fine with the Jets structure, and I'm sure that's one of the reasons or one of the things he'll be asking about as he interviews the Jets as much as they interview him.
Okay. All right. Well, I can't thank you enough, really, for your insight and your information and certainly your time on this New Year's Day evening right here on The Fan. We wish you again, Peter, a very, very happy New Year and the best of not only this year, but many years to come. And can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes of your time.
Oh, well, thanks for having me, Steve, and happy New Year to you and everybody out there. Thanks.
You got it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.